the show. You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 38. I am your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. And it is good to be back. This is the first interview I have done since my daughter was born. October 27th, 7:56 a.m., my daughter Grace was born into this world. And mom and baby are doing really well. They're both healthy, they're both happy, they're both doing great. We're all figuring this thing out together, and it's a cliche to say it's indescribable, but it is indescribable. God, just amazing, every step of the process. I don't even know what to say. A lot of people have asked me, are you tired? And yeah, I'm kind of tired, but I'm hesitant to say this because, number one, I'm gonna knock on wood, but I also know that there are people who have a hard time in the early part of parenting, and our daughter, God bless her, sleeps really, really well. We typically only have to get up maybe once a night. I mean, between 10 and 6, it's once, maybe twice. I don't know. It's really not that much, so I'm doing surprisingly well. My first day back at work was kind of an out-of-body experience. It's one thing to sort of be around your house and be awake and hanging out with your kid all day. You know, you're wearing pajama pants as I am right now. And, you know, you're just kind of doing your thing. But to go back and have to actually put like business casual clothes on and be on and conduct meetings and provide input, man, that was intense. I don't know another word for it. It was just, God, it was intense. So, but I'm kind of back in the swing of things and I'm back on the train here doing interviews. So quick note about the schedule. We have coming up, we have this week's episode, and then I'm off for Thanksgiving. There's going to be no new episode there. There might be something. I might record something special. I'm not really sure yet. Don't count on that. But there's likely not going to be a traditional episode next week. There will be three more between now and the end of the year. And then I'm going to be off for Christmas and New Year's because I doubt you're going to be listening then anyway. I hope you have better things to do than listen to me, talk to people about their employment. And then I'm working on a special series for January. So a lot of good things coming up. We're going to keep rolling on. There's going to be some mild interruption here due to the holidays, but I think that's probably to be expected and hopefully forgiven. So with that in mind, let's get to this week's episode. We have with us this week, Alex Took and Derek Weber. It's another Menage a Pod. And what we talk about, they are the co-founders and co-owners of the Peak Properties Group. You can find the Peak Properties Group at milehighhomeguide.com. So that's milehigh home guide. And yes, between high and home, those are two H's right in a row. Sometimes that doesn't look right when you type it in. That's what it is. Milehighhomeguide.com. And they are a real estate agency. Full disclosure, my wife works there. And Alex helped us sell our condo and helped us buy this home. He was our agent for that. And we talk about how they basically started with nothing and created a very successful real estate agency. They have 8 agents working for them. I think they're looking to go up to 10. Last year, you hear me talk about this at the beginning. Like it's like the very first thing you hear after the music that cues you into the episode. But they were like 10th in volume in the Denver metro area in terms of their sales, which is just remarkable because they're not, you know, Remax, a Century 21, a Coldwell Banker, whatever. They are, I think, what you would call a boutique agency. And they specialize in residential properties. And they're just fantastic. One of the reasons I was so excited to talk to them is because Alex came at this from sort of a different approach. He started with one of the larger agencies and found himself sort of adrift. You know, he wasn't getting a lot of support. And he had sort of intense frustration with the process. So he branched out on his own. And when you listen to the part of the interview where Derek leaves his corporate job to come on board with Alex, and they had nothing. They were really close to bankruptcy. It's almost at that point that I remember why I love doing this show, because so many people have taken risks and said, you know what? I believe in this. This is what I want to do. I think I can make a difference here. And they just go for it. They had pretty much everything on the line. They were backs to the wall and Just last year, they were 10th in sales volume. I imagine they are going to be even higher this year. And they talk about what makes them different and their whole team first philosophy. It's just, it's really refreshing. And we've had a lot of people work with Alex and the Peak Properties Group, and the feedback they receive is just incredible. So I'm not going to belabor this, but let's get into the episode. Let's talk real estate. They talk about what you should do if you're looking to vet a real estate agent. If you're here in Denver, hire someone from the Peak Properties Group, okay? That's my advice to you. If you are somewhere else, take their advice and vet your real estate agent. We talk a little bit about how. We talk about some of the process of home buying, some of the things you should consider, and making sure your realtor is your advocate. So let's get into it. Episode 38, John of All Trades Podcast. Glad to be back. And we're back with Alex Took and Derek Weber. Let's go. And you've built it up, and I mean, you guys were top 10, right, last year in terms of sales volume, right? In what, the Denver metro area, Colorado? What was it?
Denver metro.
That is a story worth telling. So, yeah, let me check a few levels here.
Me.
That's okay. This doesn't make you nervous. Nothing will.
I'm gonna hold it right here and be like, hello.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
Shotgun mics.
What did you guys do today?
I don't know what to do.
We got up this morning at 6 o'clock as soon as the alarm went off, and Colby mooed. He moos.
Well, your husky puppy?
Yeah,
he
gets
moos?
Up, and he's like, moo. And then, you know, he has to go to the bathroom. It's time to get up.
That sound you just made the most amazing shape on my little audio capture.
It filled the entire thing. Caught the bottom
right. It looked like a huge boob, honestly. Because it started sort of narrow, and then went much sort of greater. So yeah, that was spectacular. So he moves what when he wants to go out?
As soon as he's awake, and he wants you to be awake as well.
Okay,
it's kind of a stretching noise.
It's usually about exactly 6:30, and he does it.
Okay, yeah. The cat starts meowing at me at about 6 a.m. every time. And that means I have to get up and feed him. But now it's funny because I got to feed the cat and I got to get ready to feed the baby. And I'm like, oh.
Which one has which milk?
Which one gets which milk? Yeah. Don't mix them up. But yeah, so you guys were fully on today, right? So after you dealt with the puppy, what happened today?
I went and got a flu shot and blood drawn. Okay. So I've been in a coma all day. So.
Oh, that sounds fun. Does your arm hurt?
Yeah, really bad.
Yeah, my flu shot didn't hurt, but I had to get a Tdap booster because I have the baby.
Yeah.
And it's like they shove a railroad spike into your arm,
mm-hmm.
and it's excruciating. It hurt for like a week. So, but any deals closed today?
Today Martin had one close.
I had one close today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We usually do about 3 to 4 a week.
3 to 4 deals a week. How many realtors work for you?
Right now we have
we just brought on an eighth one, and
3 more interviews this week.
Yeah, we have 3 interviews next week.
How many are you looking to add?
Possibly 1 or 2 more.
Okay,
we'll be happy around 10. Got to hold a place for Kristen though.
Okay, well yeah, she's kind of out of commission for right now.
You kind of want your wife to have a job when she gets back.
Well, very much so. No joke. So sitting here with Alex Took and Derek Weber of the Peak Properties Group. And thank you both for taking the time and hanging out with me, drinking beer in the basement.
No problem. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. This is the first interview I've done since the baby's been born, so it's almost like an out-of-body experience.
You've been a little preoccupied. It's all right.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, but, you know, it's Friday night. You guys are taking some time, but it sounds like this Friday night is sort of standard for you because you got a lot of folks living at your house right now, right?
Yeah, a little bit too many. My mom and grandma staying with us right now. So it's nice to get out and leave them with the animals for a bit.
Well, in true realtor style, I mean, you guys got how many real estate deals going in your personal life right now, right?
Oh, God. Actually, we just closed on our condo that we've had for about 7 years, and we have a new build being built, and we're getting ready to list our current home. And
I have your mom's new build that's being built, and I think we have probably about 8 or 9 currently under contract.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy right now. And we're moving our office in a couple weeks too.
Oh, good. So, God, where are you moving the office? Because you guys are in like Cap Hill right now, right?
We're in Cap Hill right now, but we are much like a lot of people are being pushed out of Denver for the high rents.
Okay.
So we're on our way down to the Aurora side of things, 225 and Parker.
Oh my God, 225 and Parker.
I know.
Wow. I hadn't heard that yet, so this is brand new.
No one actually has, so breaking news.
Yeah, we just signed the lease today.
Wow. Okay. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Good space?
Awesome space. It's basically two office towers, about 1,500 square feet, corner
nice.
Office, big deal, kind of cool.
Good mountain views.
Good mountain views.
Righteous.
I know.
Good for you guys, man.
Corporate world now. Crap.
So give me the spiel on Peak Properties Group, sort of its origin, your guys' focus, business philosophy. Just give me the elevator pitch about it.
The elevator pitch is we got tired of the way we were doing it when I first got started. So I got into real estate, I don't know, about, four and a half years ago?
Yeah, I think it was about 2010.
Yeah, 2010, somewhere right around there. Got in there as a single agent and spent about a year with one of the big name brokerages.
Okay.
And jumped offices and did the whole like normal agent thing. It's, you know, normal stuff, become a number in the crowd.
Right. You're very diplomatic in not naming the large agency.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not doing that. I'm doing that on purpose.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I caught that.
I figured as much, but just wanted to highlight that.
It's very, very diplomatic. Yeah, so the big box brokerage, you know, yeah.
Sure.
Spent about a year and a half jumping around offices and, you know, no one helps you. Nobody does anything for you. Nobody even asks if you're okay. They don't care if you show up. So it wasn't really conducive to the life I wanted to live.
Wait, so elaborate on that a little bit. So you're a new broker, right? You get your real estate license and you go through all the training and you have to take the test, which is sort of an involved process, right?
Yeah.
And you show up to one of the big brokerage firms and do you have like a boss?
Well, you have a managing broker, which is kind of like over everyone. So
okay.
No, they encourage and they tell you that you're your own boss, run your own business.
Okay.
And they literally mean that. They throw you in some new agent class and, you know, they teach you how to hold an open house and knock on some doors and, you know, tell you that you're going to make $1 million. In reality, you're filing bankruptcy in 6 months and you're out of the business.
Okay.
And it's like one of the highest turnover rates. You know, people get out of the business. 80% of the people get out of the real estate industry within the first 2 years. I mean, it's crazy, the turnover rate.
Wow. Why do you think it is? Why do you think that is?
No one really takes the time to sit down and actually, you know, everybody thinks it's HGTV of, you know, opening doors, you know, you show two houses, you make, you know, 30 grand and you get to go on some lavish vacation.
You bake some cookies, get the cookie smell in the house.
Exactly.
Buyers show up.
Exactly. And you write a contract and you move on.
And no one really ever tells them that it is a lot of work. I mean, a lot of work.
Right.
And when they actually find out how much work it actually is to do the business, it's too much work.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, in your estimation, a lot of folks who get into real estate have been sold a bill of goods and they show up and they go, oh, wow, this like sucks compared to the fantasy that is blasted at me through media.
No, absolutely. I mean, not only do they not teach you the fundamentals of a business, which is the thing that we learned the hardest, was you have to run a business first and then a real estate business.
Okay.
So you need to know how to balance your books. You need to know how to do marketing. You need to know how to do, I mean, there's so many hats to be worn that nobody actually tells you that you're doing it all.
Right. So like all the administrative stuff that at first blush seems kind of boring, but is almost like what takes the most of your time in terms of doing your job, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, the reason that we have the team that we have now is that, you know, I handle all kind of the contract type stuff, helping agents through the deals, negotiations. Derek takes on all the IT, all the marketing, internet lead generation, finding new clients. You know, that's what his full-time job is with financing. And we have to have a transaction coordinator that helps with marketing,
wow,
contracts. I mean, and that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as like getting everything done.
Sure. And I mean, part of your job is you have to motivate a team as well. Right? I mean,
Derek can talk about that one. That's always a fun one.
I'm more the patient one, the therapist of the team.
Right.
When they have bad days, I'll go sit down with them in the park and sit on the on the park bench and be like, what went wrong today and how can I help, and talk it out.
If I had to do this in sort of a, I don't know, almost crass way, it's almost like you're the mom of the firm, you're the dad of the firm, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Actually, yeah, that's probably about correct.
Well, what's funny is I talked to my massage therapist, who she does an acupuncture business with her partner, and she goes, I'm mom, my partner, I can't remember what her name is, but she's like, she's dad, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's almost like everyone will, no matter what one person is like, the other person almost sort of slips into the other role. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the way you're describing it, Alex, is, you know, you sort of, you drive this and you handle the contracts and you'll put on the gorilla suit if you have to. And right. Derek,
we do need to get one of those, by the way.
You need a literal gorilla suit?
It would be very handy.
Absolutely. And Derek, you handle sort of like, okay, so you're having a bad day. Let me help you through it.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
We tag team a lot of it too, but
yeah, like if there's issues like with a contract or with another agent or if they need help with something that they're currently working on. Alex can handle that. I'm more of the emotional support.
Right. So perfect. Okay, great. So we were talking about how you were working for one of the big brokerage firms, mm-hmm. and you realized, wow, this sucks. No one helps me. And what happened next?
Well, I spent about almost right at a year jumping.
You started with your mom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I forgot about that part. My mom actually started with me, and she helped set up Four Walls Real Estate. And
okay.
She made it about 2 weeks into working with one buyer. Then she said, this isn't for me. She's like, this sucks. I'm out. You know, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And we hear that all the time. And, it's, you know. But, yeah, no, she started the brokerage with me started my team before Derek came on because he was a database administrator.
Okay.
For the first year that I was doing it. But
like for someone else, right? Like in a different vertical altogether,
I was,
right?
I was in full-on corporate slave world.
Okay. Yeah.
Wondering what his husband was doing at all hours of the day, not working. You know, hey, you should right. be doing stuff. I'm sure you've done the same thing with Chris. And like, what are you doing today?
You're right.
But
well, knowing what I know about watching her study for the real estate exam and now watching her like conduct deals, mm-hmm. I go, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not wired for this. I mean, I know that personally. Yeah. But when you see it sort of up close and personal, you go, holy shit, mm-hmm. like I don't have any delusions about what this world is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's been about a year floundering, screwed up a couple deals, really had no direction, nothing.
Right.
No image, no name, no nothing. So met with a couple of our friends and watched what they were doing in Phoenix and realized that we were doing it all wrong.
In real estate?
In real estate. Yeah. They had a real estate team down in Phoenix and completely realized that we did it completely wrong. We were running a real estate business, but not a business.
Okay.
So we had to backtrack, and he hated his job at the time. So kind of just, you quit your job as a database administrator and said, let's do this.
But, right. In the corporate world. So Derek, can you shed a little light in terms of what you were doing at the time?
Like what my current job was at the time?
Like before you started working with Alex, like in real estate. What were you doing?
I worked for an education company, and I was initially a database analyst and moved into database administrator position.
So what's involved in that?
A lot of long hours, basically 24-hour on-call all the time. Even when you're not on the on-call, it was basically you can be called a lot. And
I actually remember that because we'd hang out sometimes and you'd have to set up a little workstation, like when you come over to our place, and just be like, I gotta have this ready. Guys have good Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah. And you can share that now that I don't work there, because what I did would have actually possibly gotten me fired. I wasn't supposed to leave my house.
Well, I don't think you're going back, right?
Yeah, probably not.
So but what types of tasks are involved in being a database administrator?
Well, it's mostly doing program updates to the software, a lot of just daily maintenance, making sure that it runs smoothly. Based off of the high volume that we had on their website, because it was a web-based education company,
right?
We had to make sure that the database was always running smoothly, because the higher the volume, the harder it was on the database.
Sure.
So that was most of it, and then regular like updates to the software for the database that we had to run. And then on call, it was basically just making sure everything runs smoothly in all hours of the night,
like full on tech support type stuff.
Yeah.
So you get calls from people being like, hey, dude, the database is not functioning properly. Fix it.
Yeah,
that kind of thing?
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Yes, everything is down. You need to fix this right now. And, huh? What?
Yeah.
I just woke up. What?
Yeah. What is happening? That sounds like it sucks.
Yeah, it did.
So as a result of that, you joined up with Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your role now? Like, or how did you slot in?
When we first started at the brokerage that we were at, I basically went into the role of calling. I would do, well, initially I started with lead generating. And once those leads come in, then I rolled into calling all of those leads. And then the leads that I talked to...
Never called him back.
So it sounds like not total cold calling, but like lukewarm calling.
Yeah, I would say it's warm calling because yeah. They are the ones that showed interest on when they,
right.
They registered for the website in the first place.
Okay, so you did some of the warm calling, and how has your role evolved since then?
Since then, well, we realized that I am not the most wonderful salesperson on the phone on earth.
Okay.
So
you have such Midwestern kindness.
Oh yeah, I'm super nice, but when I have like objections, I'm just like that's okay.
You're like, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Goodbye."
Yeah. So we decided to take my skills and use them more so for the lead generation, doing marketing, website maintenance, management, and then the leads that come in being handled by agents themselves, that is their calling.
Okay, gotcha. So that sounds good. So Alex, talk me through, let's go back to you. As you start to found your own company here, what was that process like?
Well, I mean, just sitting down and realizing that, one, you're making a huge life decision. You know, our personal life was him leaving a very nice, cushy, well-paid IT job. And
sure, I wouldn't say well-paid.
Decently paid.
Decently paid. Yeah, how about that?
Stably paid.
Yeah. We were able to eat, pay our garbage, and our mortgage. We were good. So, you know, life was good. And
sure. With
him being so unhappy with his job and, you know, making that decision to not only redo our business, but redo our life,
yeah. You
know, he quit his job and that meant we had no income because I wasn't selling any homes at the time because we were stopping what we were doing
yeah. To
reevaluate. And, you know, we were at the point of almost bankruptcy when we started this. So, I mean, the desire and the need came from, you know, having to survive.
Yeah.
So we really had to figure out how to create something out of nothing.
It's almost like you can't fail at that point, right? Like failure is not an option.
Yeah, it wasn't. You know, we were convincing people to, you know, join our team on a whim. You know, there really wasn't a whole lot more besides, you know, hey, you want to come work with us? Like, okay, right. Great. Let's do that. So, no, I mean, just sitting down and being able to look at how can you provide for yourself is really the main question we looked at. So, you know, it wasn't going to be the two of us selling real estate together because that's kind of the old way of doing real estate.
Right. Yeah. Husband and wife team.
Yeah. The husband and wife team. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, you'd get like the notepads.
Exactly.
Like in your mailbox.
Yeah. Door knocking and yeah.
Jim and Lisa Johnson.
Yeah. Sending out our monthly and quarterly newsletters and wearing our gold blazers. That wasn't going to be us.
Yeah. They have some awful like photo from Olin Mills or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Right. So, I mean, like any small business, you have to sit down and figure out what you're good at. And what we were good at was internet and lead generation. So how can we make a business out of that? And that's really where we decided to move forward. It was how are we going to do that? So it wasn't just a website. You know, every agent can have a website. We really had to sit down and think of all aspects of our business of where our leads were going to come from, what's our core values, what's our level of service, you know, what are we going to do here?
How are we going to convert these leads, right?
Yeah, and how are we going to, you know, teach what we know and what we do well to others and create, you know, like you said, you know, managing a team and expectations. I mean, I think that's a...
Right, so basically you're identifying a niche here. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going, okay, so I've been in this corporate environment and now there are failings in it, as mm-hmm. you saw them. How can I take those mm-hmm. and modify those and make myself successful, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the one of the biggest things was support. You know, finding out how we could support each other and support those who worked with us.
Okay.
Because that's the one thing that I lacked at the big brokerage I was at.
Okay. So how did you then institute that?
Very slowly. Lots of mistakes. I don't know. How do you think we institute that, Derek?
The way we work now. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a lot of trial and error. Like Alex had said before, I'm like, we at the beginning, we brought on warm bodies. I just said, do you want to work with us? Work with us. Cool. Most of them weren't quite what we were looking for and would possibly be unhappy.
Yeah.
And then move on because they were unhappy. And then we eventually found a group of people that are amazing together, to enjoy being working on a team and give us the ability to expand on what we want to create as a business.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. How long do you think it took you to where you got to a place where you said, you know, you're almost bankrupt, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long till you got to a place where you go, you know what? I think we got something here. I think this is something that works. And you felt, I don't want to say comfortable because you own your own business. You're probably never comfortable, right?
No, never.
Ever, right?
There's no way to be comfortable.
But where you got, where you said to yourself, you know what? I think we got it here. And I think this is like a thing. And I think, you know, we're not going to go hungry doing this. At what point did you, do you think you got there?
You know, I honestly,
are you there?
You know, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're definitely, we're on the right track of building a business as any small business is. And I think that's the way we're coming at it is we almost look at this as this company as like a tech startup. So we had to get everybody's buy-in. We had to get everybody's want and desire to build something together, not just individual. Yeah. And this is such an individualistic business. You know, everybody's an independent contractor, so everybody has their, you know, I mentality versus their team mentality.
And sure.
It took us a long time to find that right group. And I think right now I can say I think we're finally at a point where it's not that we're okay that we're, you know, living the cushy life, but we're finally at a point now where everyone's happy.
Good.
And it took finding the right mix of not only people, but of everything we were offering to our agents and our clients to see our clients succeed, but more so our agents succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we finally saw those agents surpassing what they said when they, in that initial interview of what they wanted or what their desire was,
right?
You know, now we can see them, you know, buying that new car, putting money in savings, and the people around us are successful. And I think that's finally the right feeling that we were looking for.
Well, shit. I mean, a rising tide lifts many boats, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, so you guys have, you know, the more successful you are, or the more successful your agents are, the more successful you guys are, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and like I said, it's vice versa. We try to live a good, comfortable life, but we're not really happy, and it's actually kind of depressing if the people that work with us or under us are not. I'm like, it's our whole goal to bring them up on the same level.
Yeah, well, you're not looking to create your own little fiefdom.
No.
So.
No. But that's the thing. You go back to the real estate industry and it's all about the mega agent. That's all you ever hear is mega agent, this, you know, top producer, that. And teams.
Mega agent? I'm sorry. That just.
Yeah, mega agent.
That is.
That sounds horrible.
It is. And it's such an egocentric business. And so how do you take a business model of individualistic, you know, independent contractors, bring them together as one team, you know, as one group, and remove the ego from it. Yeah. So that was one of our, you know, founding principles was this is a linear team. Everyone pitches in, everybody does the same job, but people have different roles.
Okay.
And you do what you're good at.
You do what you're good at. And
you get rewarded for that.
Exactly. So if somebody's struggling, the entire team helps bring them up.
Okay.
You know, if we're successful, that means everybody around us is successful. Everybody's out there, you know, your team is your biggest promoter.
Yeah.
Your best marketing tool you have is the people you work with.
Sure.
So,
okay, I'm curious then. One of the things that I've always wanted to ask you but never have is, because, I mean, we've known each other for a while now. Like, you and Kristen worked, I mean, not that long, but.
Actually, I've known Kristen for about 10 years.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we met probably 8 years ago or so.
Something like that, yeah.
One of the things I've always wondered is, why real estate? Like, what was it about real estate that made you get into it?
You know, I can give you the sales pitch that I always tell everybody. I grew up in a contractor household. And
oh, fuck,
you know,
that. Don't give me the, you know, give me the real answer, because we're doing a long-form interview here, Alex.
Yeah, you know, the real answer, there's tons of money and I wanted a Rolls Royce. You know, that's what everybody says that it really was.
Right.
But it came down to, I mean, I worked in retail for so long. I, you know, business degree. You know, I wanted to do something that, one, was interesting to me,
yeah,
which kind of combined like law, design, and customer service.
Yeah.
So that was things that brought all my interests together. But real estate, you know, I don't know necessarily how I found this avenue, but it if you listen to yourself when you, actually, a funny story, Derek and I would be walking down a street and I'd walk by like a small real estate brokerage And I say, you know, it'd be really kind of cool to do something like that together one day.
Right.
And now here we are doing that.
And I always said, hell no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why hell no?
Just because back then it's like I said, I was in corporate world. Yeah. I had corporate brain. I was like, no, I cannot leave the corporate world. I will die.
Mm-hmm. You had security there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that's tough to overcome.
Well, I think Derek, you and I both talk about, we put things in the universe and they happen. So there's no like real reason why something happens, but if you put something out there, it definitely manifests. And I think that's been a big belief of both you and I for a while. Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny how things come around.
But. Yeah, I'm like, we've learned that you put good out there, good comes back. You put bad out there, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a whole sort of delivery of ick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just back to you.
Exactly.
But think about it this way. You could sell anything.
Yeah.
Sales is sales.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't really matter about what your item that you're selling is. It's more so, how can you be happy in what you're doing? And I think trying to be a good person and do the best by everyone is, you know, I think our full-time job, not so.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because when I was working for Sports Rack, which was a company that sold like vehicle accessories, you know, trailer hitches and rooftop cargo boxes and ski racks and shit like that, I was talking to my friend who had been in sales a long time, and he said, bad salesmen sell on product.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're pimping the product, you are falling short of your potential as a salesman.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what you're selling. What you're doing is you're creating a relationship. And you need to be listening to your client, not trying to sell them a product. When you listen to them and you meet their needs, then you're truly like living up to your full potential. And I go, okay, what the hell is he talking about? I'm selling fucking sales, trailer hitches here.
Yeah, it's against every sales class you've ever gone to.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, working with you especially, because, I mean, before Kristen had her real estate license, you sold our condo and moved us into the house that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you knew sort of what we wanted to do. You listened to us, and then you said, okay, here's what we can do. Here's the art of the possible. Here's what you guys want. And here's the reality, and married those up. You know, you didn't have an agenda like you have to get into this kind of house or this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It was never anything like that. It was more like, okay, I'm listening to you, and how can we be successful for you? And then we're both successful.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's something we try to educate and get across to not only all of our agents, but our clients too. This is such an ego business, and it's, you know, I want the big commission, big commission. You know, at the end of the day, zero is still zero. If you can't find and make somebody happy, it's not worth anything.
Well, it's a career of passion, basically. It's like if you're not really passionate about it, then yeah, you're just all about the commission.
Yeah.
That's all you care about. That's what you want. That's your everything that you say is driven by that, and we call it commission breath.
Commission breath.
Yeah. But I'm like, if you're actually passionate about it, you care more about helping.
Yeah,
making sure they're happy, making sure that they have what they want, and then the money that you make after that is secondary.
I don't know if you guys listened to the Jay Titterington episode, but he is an auto broker, so he doesn't make a percentage on the cars he sells. He makes a flat rate for every car. He said, so I'm not trying to sell you the best vehicle. I need to create a client for life.
Right.
Is that a very similar model that you guys have?
Well, you're a client. So,
well, yeah.
Think about it. If I would have pushed you into something that you absolutely hated, or, you know, I was a sleaze.
Yeah, I mean, some shitty lease or something. Or,
something. Either way. I mean, it. You have to think about not only the end game, but, you know, you got to be happy with what you're doing. The people that you're working with have to be happy with what you're selling them. I always tell them that we're educators. We're not salesmen. So we're out there educating. We're out there, you know, making sure that people understand what they're buying, what they're getting themselves into for the next 30 years. You know, if we're out there selling, we're going to be really poor.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, how many folks have we sent your way? I mean,
quite a few.
You need to acquit yourselves well, because, I mean, that's the lifeblood.
None
of
anymore since your wife got her.
Well,
license.
No.
But you know what? Whatever.
Dude, that was your own doing.
I know. I did convince her to do that. Yeah. It's all right.
I mean, she got laid off enough in her corporate jobs, right, Derek? And she goes, she goes, no, you know what? Enough of this. And you're like, okay, you know what? You're coming to work for me. I mean, that was fully your doing.
And the funny thing is, work with us, not for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we always tell everyone, stop calling us a boss. We're not your boss.
Okay, so in terms of structure, how is it different working with you guys versus for someone else?
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you have to do something.
Okay.
I'm going to teach you and walk you through the way it should be done.
Okay.
Have you come to your own conclusions. And it's a whole education process versus a dictatorship. So, and same thing, we handle the way we handle clients is the same way we handle our agents. I'm going to explain to you the benefits and cost.
Everything, right?
Of everything. And you're going to come to your own conclusion.
Okay.
So if I can do that with our agents and get them behind what they're telling others, it makes them that more confident and that much more ability to make that decision down the road.
And we just share the same structures and goals and values across the board. Mm-hmm. Very linear.
So it's kind of like, here's the universe. Here's your array of options. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to choose. And mm-hmm. your success will be the result of your choices. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no within, you know, legal confines.
Well, sure. Well, yeah, of course.
We don't want to end up in real estate jail. But, you know, it's important to have people who are confident around them.
Yeah.
Around themselves and around everyone. So, I mean, it's just more of a conversation than it is anything else.
Okay.
So, like, anyway, the linear path that we take with our team and our company, like Derek said, everybody has their own role. Everybody has their own what they're good at. And we come together when people lack in certain areas.
Okay. So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the home buying and or selling process mm-hmm. for folks who have either gone through it or anyone who hasn't gone through it. If you were talking to a first time client, let's say you're talking to someone who is thinking about buying a home for the first time. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if they're here in Denver, I know where I'm going to send them. I know who I'm going to recommend. Mm-hmm. But let's say, you know, they're somewhere else. What are the things that they need to know as they are considering either buying or selling a home, and how should they properly vet a real estate agent?
Well, I think that's the number one thing they need to do is actually vet a real estate agent.
Okay.
So many first-time home buyers, they think it's like buying a car. So you walk up, you can call the number on the sign, and that person has their best interest at heart. You know, that car.
Like the selling agent?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they don't understand the process and they don't do any due diligence. They think it's like shopping on Zillow and then they'll call someone.
Or like going to a store or something, right?
Exactly.
Right. Like, oh, there's a home for sale. This person's obviously selling it. I'll just cut a deal with them, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, cut out the middleman and, you know.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's like, you know, going to court without an attorney and expecting the prosecutor to be on your best side.
Good God.
So, I mean, the biggest thing for us is, you know, you need to vet your real estate agent. You need to talk to a couple, find out, you know, exactly who these people are. What are they going to do for us? You know, literally, what is it going to cost me? You know, the buyers may necessarily not pay the commission, the sellers will, but what is it going to cost me in terms of your lack of experience?
What types of questions should someone ask?
You know, and that's a great question. As far as like, how long have you been in the business? How many transactions have you done? I don't really think that's a really great basis for finding a good real estate agent, because I know a lot of real estate agents that have done hundreds of transactions that are the worst person to have on your side.
Cause they probably eat hog at it.
Yeah, they're a machine.
It almost coming along the lines of not necessarily your experience, more along the lines of how passionate are you about this. And what support do you have?
Oh, interesting. What support do you have behind you? Like, is it just you? Mm-hmm. Like, how big is your firm? Are you on your own? Do you have a relationship with, like, financing?
Well, do you have somebody looking at after your transactions? You know, am I your only transaction right now?
Okay.
You know, that's kind of a red flag to me. Like, are you, like, how well do you respect your own business?
Right.
You know, to respect my time in purchasing the biggest purchase I'm ever going to do. So, I mean, looking for someone who is going to be an educator, someone who is going to take the time to explain the process, especially as a first-time home buyer, you know, it's not like going to a store. So you need someone who's going to sit down, go through the process, explain the steps up front so you know what to expect. So when you lose your first house and you have to go right into their contract over and over and over again, you know, at least in this market, you already know what to expect.
Okay.
And you know you have somebody in your corner.
Yeah, okay, so making sure you have an advocate.
Absolutely. That's a great word for it.
Okay. One of the things that is important, I think, that a lot of people don't realize, and I've watched Kristen coach people through this, is there's always another house, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's always another house.
And there's always another contract in front of you.
Because people get very precious about houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we got to have this house.
This one.
And it's like, really? How many houses are there in any given metropolitan area? Roughly infinity, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think what you're getting at is, are you a salesperson or are you their advocate?
Right.
Because if you're a salesperson, they have to have that one house. You're going to tell me they have to have that one house,
yeah,
versus pointing out the fact that it meets none of their criteria.
Yeah.
It meets nothing that they're, you know, that they're looking for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're probably the worst people to say that, because we bought a house that didn't meet any of our criteria. And now we're selling it a year and a half later. But we got caught up in that too. But as far as looking as someone,
I wouldn't say none of your criteria.
No, it actually meant the majority of it. It was,
yeah,
just,
because I mean,
and it was
location,
a screaming deal.
Yeah,
and yeah. Anyway, appraised for way more than what we bought it for. So,
yeah. I mean, it didn't meet none of your criteria. I don't think you guys would get hoodwinked that poorly.
No. Of course not. It was our deal.
but you guys are selling it now.
We are, just because our life changes.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. What else should people consider as they think about hiring a real estate agent?
I think you hit on a great point, Derek, was the support. You know, do they have somebody looking out for the transaction? Do they have somebody helping them through the process? Because there's so many ways of losing the deal along the way.
Well, and an agent that's busy, that's working with several clients at once, if they're still going to have their attention to their clients, they can't be dealing with all the paperwork on the back end. They
right.
can't be dealing with all the communication with everything. They can't be dealing with all of the
day-to-day.
small day-to-day stuff. They want to be able to be there for their client.
Right. The stuff that's pretty mundane but time-consuming, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if they're doing all of the mundane stuff, well, that's time that they're not answering their phone. They're not answering questions
right.
to their client. Their client is floundering because they're not answering.
Right. Or freaking out.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, man, what is my realtor doing? Well, they might be working on your behalf.
They're making a flyer for their new listing.
Doing art projects.
But some of it, you know, some of it has to be a lot of care and feeding of clients. I know we've talked before about some clients can be extraordinarily high maintenance, right? Where you have to talk them through, you know, a lot of aspects of financing, or, you know, sort of vagaries of the house or objections or inspections or whatever, right? I mean, how much of your time, probably less now, but how much of your time is dedicated to that type of thing?
Well, I would actually say the majority, about 90% of our time, is being that person that is expected to walk you through those things. I think the fault comes when people don't explain. And
right.
don't take the time to explain what the inspection objection, what the ramifications, you know, it's not only protecting your client, but it's, you know, making sure that they're comfortable with what they're doing, because they could get halfway through being under contract on a property. And, you know, if you're like, oh, you know, that wall that's caving in is no big deal.
Right.
You know, don't worry about it. You can deal with that when you move in.
What?
Yeah. It's like, but it's just kind of like, you have to take the time to walk each step of the way.
I mean, that was one of the things that really helped me as we bought this house. You know, it's like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Once this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then we have this thing, and then this thing happens, and you respond, and et cetera, et cetera. And I go, holy shit, this is like a lot of steps in the process. And thank you for laying them out to me.
No, absolutely. And what people don't understand is, they're at risk the entire time they're going through that under contract.
Oh, yeah.
Not only losing the house, but losing their earnest money, or,
right.
you know, God forbid, being sued for something
right.
on the seller side. But, I mean, you have to be able to take the time to step back, look at the whole overall picture, find out where your client's at, where their emotion's at, and relay the information in a way that's going to get them to not make a decision in a certain direction, but have them make a decision that benefits them.
Yeah, like the most informed decision possible.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, okay. Question for each of you. What, and feel free to both respond to this, but what is your biggest frustration of working in this business?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
The egos.
Okay, expand on that.
Yeah, the egos of other agents in the market. That's one of the reasons we set one of our core values as leave your ego at the door.
Before you finish answering this question, can you expand what your other core values are?
For sure. So it's leaving the ego at the door, leading through technology and innovation.
Okay.
Step forward and give back, which is what we focus a lot on, like local charities.
Step forward and give back. Talk more about that.
So right now, step forward and give back. We each month we make a donation to a charity that we feel supports our community, and that's Metro Care Ring.
Yeah.
So for each home purchase, we make a donation. We volunteer. We do different events throughout the year.
Okay, cool.
With them. So it just reminds us that no matter where we're doing or what we're doing, that there's other things going on. We need to be conscious of that. So our agents involve them in that, in their decisions. Every business decision we make revolves around our eight core values.
Awesome.
As well. Did we just lose power?
No, not down here.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what happened to the lights.
We're going to,
but, all of it for, okay. So this is an audio format and, we're all suddenly in the dark. My, laptop, mixing board and everything else
is
continue to have power, but the lights went out. So that is bizarre.
That is bizarre.
It is the wonderful things of Park Hill.
wow. What a weird thing to happen.
Moving
fuck
on.
It. We got beer. Let's keep talking.
We got beer. We're good to go.
Okay. So you mentioned three core values. Are there others?
Take the high road.
Taking the high road, which is a big one because.
Yeah.
And it's one that we reiterate all the time to our agents is it really worth your time fighting for something that you could just say, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger person.
Well, because some people are just douchebags, right?
Absolutely.
And so like dealing with another agent can be.
Infuriating.
Yeah. And I've watched Kristen sort of bite her tongue.
She's had some doozies.
Yeah.
Well, you have the ones that are like, well, I have 14 years of experience. You don't have any right to talk to me.
And it's like, so what? You know, like that doesn't entitle you to be a rude person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, okay. Some people believe that, but they still don't have the right to be a rude person. So, okay. So I'm curious, before we get totally off track, biggest frustration.
Biggest frustration. You said ego, and I would agree with you. Really?
It's basically, in some transactions, it's always just a fight. When, I hate using this terminology, you're trying to make it a win-win. You always try to make it a win-win, but oftentimes the other side, you just seem to be fighting all the time. And
some people will say that, knowing full well that they're not going for a win-win, that they're going for a win and
a demolish.
Screw you.
Yeah.
I want my commission.
Right.
Yeah. And I hate when it comes down to the commission. And when you bring that up and put that in their face, it's almost like, oof. But, you know, I guess one of my biggest frustrations would be the simple fact that every agent is out for themselves.
Okay.
So it goes back to ego too, but it's more so, it's all about me. It's not about my client. It's, I'm going to demolish you. So we're a young team. So we've only been in business for 4 years. Our team's been going for about three. And the people that set out to just absolutely destroy you for absolutely no reason because they've been in the business for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's still ego. But I mean, that's one of our biggest headaches is people just want to find ways of, you know, reporting you to Dora or reporting you to, you know, an attorney for absolutely nothing, just to waste your time and money.
Oh, just to bog you down.
Just to bog you down.
Bureaucratic nonsense.
Absolutely. And you know, it happens all the time. And it's such a waste of emotion and time.
Yeah, it's just a waste of energy, right?
Yeah. Like, it's like
I'm messing with you because you seem to be ascending here. And I'm just going to tie you up with bureaucratic horseshit,
absolutely.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Go into a lot of examples, but we won't. But yeah.
But it's happened.
It happens almost every day in some form or fashion, not necessarily for Peak, but for, you know, for
right.
our agents.
But we have started learning to use them as a learning experience.
Absolutely. You can learn
rather than making ourselves absolutely miserable, making us stressed, making us want to quit. Mm-hmm. Just get over it and use it as a learning experience instead.
Wow. That's one of the hardest things to do, too, is take a negative experience, look at it, grow from it, and then look back on it.
Well, yeah, because sometimes you just want to, like, sit in it and just stew in it.
Oh, you
want to
stew,
bitter and
you want to hire every attorney on earth. You want to throw money at things.
And we have. We've stewed, and we've gotten angry, and we've threw things.
And what did that get you, though?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
So do you do it less now? Like, I mean,
we make a conscious effort to, when something bad happens, any small business could do the same thing.
Right.
Like when something bad happens or you have a setback, instead of going back two steps, figure out how to turn around and go two steps forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest thing to remember to tell yourself, because you're the one pushing yourself backwards.
Do you guys talk each other off the ledge?
Every day.
All the time.
All the time.
That Kristen and I do that. I mean, you know, we're not in the same business, but I think you do that no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have folks that I work with, and you're constantly almost reversing roles, right?
Yeah. It's like the days that he's not talking me off of a ledge, I'm talking him off his. Well, and we've learned to, on how, basically how to deal with each other's emotions. We've been together for, it'll be 10 years in December.
10 years in December?
Like, we get asked every day, how the hell do you live together? Are you partners for that long and still work together and stay or with each other all day long, 24/7?
Well, yeah, I rarely see you guys apart. And I mean, we've, you know,
Deemed odd. Mm-hmm.
it's not like we've made a secret of it, but I mean, you guys are married, right?
Absolutely.
Civil union.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't made it explicit, but as long as we're talking about it, you guys do work together,
mm-hmm.
and you do live together.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that play into, you know, the overall experience? Is that challenging? Is that natural?
It's unfortunate. It's extremely natural.
Yeah, I'm like, it's extremely natural, and that's why I say like that a lot of people think we're odd, that we can handle each other 24/7. We have our little spats and things like that. I'm like, have we ever really raised our voices at each other? Very rarely. Maybe two, three times in our life.
Yeah. But I think it's because we're complete opposites. And no matter, like, business partners or partners, I think you have to find that right mix of personality to be successful.
Right.
Certainly. Because I do things really well that he sucks at.
Right.
And he does things that I could never do, like be organized and have spreadsheets and, you know, pay bills on time, that he does. So
you complement each other's attributes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, that's amazing. I think about, Kristen's my favorite person in the world, and we've said to each other, ooh, I don't know if we could, like, work together and we could do that.
She says that you could not.
Yeah. No.
She says she would kill you.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
So am I.
About it. But so the fact that you guys are able to do that, I mean, that's a remarkable sort of skill to have.
Well, that's a funny thing, because we've taken personality tests, and when you look at the two, our two personalities, they basically just fit together perfectly.
It's kind of creepy.
They're just like interlocking fingers.
Yeah,
right?
Basically. They just kind of interlock together when you look at them on a graph.
Sorry, weird. Alex, was that too cute by half?
Kind
of. Okay. So we're approaching the end of our time together. So if there was one thing you guys wanted people to know about being a realtor or buying real estate or anything sort of in the real estate milieu, we'll call it, what would you want them to know?
You want to take that one first?
You go ahead.
Just focus on being happy.
Okay.
Listen to yourself. Listen to, you know, what it is, what your goals are, if you want to be a real estate agent, why? If you want to buy, you know, you want to buy a new home, well, why? And I think that's one of the things I try to focus on the most, is just figuring out the, you know, what is your big why behind pretty much everything you're doing.
Whether you want to work individually or with a team, mm-hmm. one or the other, you may not necessarily like working together, but you may like working individually or vice versa.
So, Alex, what is your why? Why are you a realtor?
What is my why? I want to do something that I know I can sustain for a long period of time, and something that I can provide the kind of life that I want to live.
Okay.
The flexibility, the ability to make others happy, the ability to lift others up.
Awesome. Derek, what's your why? Why do you do this?
It's based off of kind of living. I'm like, I would like to have a good job, work for myself, make a decent wage, but it also comes down to having good people to work with. Honestly, I like it when everyone I'm working with is happy. It hits me hard when people are unhappy, when people have left the team and sometimes in bad situations, it hits me really hard. And it's like, I like having a place where I work that everyone's happy.
Good, man. So what is one thing? We did Alex's. What is one thing you would want people to know about the real estate business that they may not, or something you've learned
That has to do a lot with, like Alex said before, education. If you come into wanting to buy a house or even sell a house and just kind of know a little about it half-assed, that's not going to go very well.
Gotcha. So educate yourself as much as possible.
Yeah.
All right, guys, give me the plug for Peak Properties Group. Let everyone know where they can find you, because I'm just going to do a plug right now. It'll happen in the intro and outro. And granted, I'm biased because my wife works for you. But going through the process with you, Alex, of buying our home and the amount of people I've referred to you, I have never gotten better feedback. And you will not find a more conscientious group of folks doing what they do in terms of advocating for your best interest in your biggest purchase in your entire life. So where can people find you?
Absolutely. So we have this little website called themilehighhomeguide.com. That's our bread and butter. You can find out everything about us there. You can look at all of our agents. You can see what we're up to with Metro Caring. It's kind of the portal of where all about Peak.
So www.milehighhomeguide.com. And there are two H's next to each other, right?
Yes.
Yes, two H's.
So yeah, that can throw you off.
Yeah, at the moment, it doesn't really pay to give a business address, because we do have an office, but we will be moving in about 2 months.
And to be honest,
I don't know the new address.
I know it, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Are you guys on social media?
Absolutely. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Okay, Facebook, Instagram. Is it Mile High Home Guide?
On Facebook, it is the Peak Properties Group.
Okay.
And Instagram, it's PPG Denver.
Okay. PBG Denver on Instagram, Peak Properties Group on Facebook. Goddamn, guys, it was great talking to you. Thanks for taking the time and shedding some light in the real estate business.
Yeah, thank you.
Much success to you.
Awesome. Thanks, John.
And that wraps up episode 38 of the John of All Trades podcast. Alex Took and Derek Weber, great dudes. Awesome dudes. I love hanging out with them. The power went out in the middle of this interview, and we just kept talking, you know? They were drinking, I think, Shiner Bock. I had like an Anchor IPA. And it's like, you know what? We're good. We'll keep chatting. It's awesome. I love hanging out with these guys. Kristen loves working with them. And you won't find a better real estate firm here in the city of Denver. So check them out, milehighhomeguide.com. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Instagram. Facebook, they are the Peak Properties Group. Instagram, they are PPG Denver. And as long as we're talking Facebook, come find me, like me on Facebook, JOAT Pod. Like me on Twitter. Like me on Twitter? Right. Follow me on Twitter, JOAT Pod. And let's keep the plug train rolling here. 4Degrees is our sponsor. The number 4, DEGRE.ES. Your one-stop shop for all your online communications needs, social media, advertising, website building. They've got it all. Campaign season is over, so I imagine their schedule opened up a little bit. Give them a call. Hit them up on Facebook. Hit them up on their website. Zach is your man. He will get you everything you need. That'll do it for this week. We are off next week, so don't look for a new episode announcement on Monday. Look for it the following Monday. We will be back with a vengeance, and we'll keep rolling on. In the words of my wife, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, threw you a curveball. And peace the fuck out.